Coming up in mid-February, there is a group from Peace Health, Peace Harbor Medical Center going to Guatemala on a medical mission with Faith in Practice. And joining me today is Joe Brinkman. He's an RM in the surgical department. And Tina Tratin is here as well. She is also an RN. And Kate King is here with me. Good day to all of you.
Hello, hi, George.
Hello.
Good morning.
So I was watching your presentation that you sent me and looking at some of the things you do. Now, this has been going on for quite a few years. This is sort of second or third time that Peace Health has been involved, with the exception of Dr. Raymer. Is that correct?
Yeah, this is Dr. Raymer's second time being our team leader and being the one who's organized and called on her friends and colleagues from across the U.S., to do this, but she has been a part of other teams. I think the one that she mainly works with is based out of the San Francisco Bay Area, and she's got a few of those team members coming with us in February. So
now, let me ask you, why? We'll get into what you do, but why is this necessary? I mean, what is happening in these other countries that they're underserved medically?
Guatemala's healthcare system is broken. They don't have the ability to, you know, go into the hospital if they have an ache, a pain, cough, sneeze, if they need surgery. The clinics there, they're maybe open 4 hours a day. Due to government regulations, they can't get the supplies and medications that they need to be treated. The other thing is Guatemala's poverty level. The majority of the population lives in poverty, and they simply can't afford to go. When the clinic is open, they have no way to get there. They can't leave their farm or their, you know, store or shop or whatever it is they do to make money to go and get the care. So they live with their ailment.
So without getting too political, Guatemala is one of those countries where all the leaders have money, but the population not so
much. It seems that way, yeah.
So what about supplies in that? Do you have to bring down your own supplies?
We bring a lot of supplies. Faith in Practice, the company that is like the breadwinner, they do everything for us. They organize everything. They are also in cahoots with different supply companies to get things that, like surgical packs that were maybe assembled incorrectly that we wouldn't use here in the United States. But everything in there is good, so they send it to Guatemala, and that's what we use there to take care of those patients. We bring stuff that we have that maybe expired, or if we've had a physician that has left and they've left some of the things that they commonly use and no other surgeon uses it, we'll bring that down. We'll get stuff donated from medical companies that we use at the hospital. They normally chip in, so we bring suitcases down and we use some of the things that are already there.
Do you have a sense of some of the things you're going to be doing before you go down there? Because I imagine different surgeries require different tools and things like that. So you would have to know a little bit about what you're up against when you get down there.
Yeah. Everything that you're going to do while you're there is based around the team that's been organized. So Dr. Raymer is a general surgeon. So we are going to do general surgeries. We're going to do lumps and bumps. We're going to fix hernias. We're going to take out gallbladders, those types of things. But there are other teams through Faith in Practice that maybe do pediatrics. They might do urology cases. They might do GYN. It's all dependent upon how your team is made up.
So the team that's made up will have the normal tools that they use for their work, and then the people who come down, you will identify the ones that need the services that you provide.
Yeah. So Faith in Practice, you know, they're an amazing organization, and the way that they work is, other medical mission teams, they go down there and hold clinics. And, you know, they see a large number of patients. And if it's patients are identified that, hey, you have a hernia, you need surgery, Faith in Practice will actually organize transportation to a bigger city and facilitate surgery for that patient. So us going down, being surgical, doing all things surgery, we're there specifically for surgery on those patients that have come in from rural villages. I don't know what to say.
Well, that's a good. That's a good
I mean, it's in a nutshell. That's how it works. It's quite a process. It takes months, if not years. You know, we're only there for like us as a team. We're only there for a week. Two of those days are travel. one of those or two of those days are setup takedown, we really only do surgery for three days. And we do, this past May when I went, we did 60 operations.
Wow. So, Tina, you've been on one of these missions before.
I have.
Tell me a little bit about your experience and what you saw, maybe not from the procedural aspect of it, but the community aspect of it. What did you notice down there? What did you see?
Well, you know, when we first arrived in Guatemala, you get on a bus and you drive hours from Guatemala City. So you're very rural, very, there's nothing around. And when you come into the little village where we're going to be doing the services, the streets are lined up with people, old and brand new little babies, waving, cheering, and clapping. Our bus coming into town, it's...
So they're forewarned. You're coming.
Oh, they know. Los Americanos are coming. Yeah, and it's very much welcomed. I mean, it's like you're a VIP. We had military escort, but these people came out of their homes and just stopped what they're doing and just lined the streets, just with a lot of, you know, beaming faces, waves, smiles, cheering, whistling, and it was like, you know, it's a little surreal because, you know, I don't want to say I'm just a nurse, but I'm not the surgeon. I'm not, you know, I'm just somebody that's, you know, volunteering my time. But they made you feel like you were, you know, the only person in the world. And it was amazing. When you meet the patients, you know, their state of dress is very bare. They're very dirty. A lot of these people walk hours to days. And they don't just come by themselves, they come with their family. So when somebody has, say, a hernia, and they have this scheduled procedure, they'll walk 5 days with their whole family in tow, so they have to stop what they're doing at their home. They're not farming or doing what they do to make money, and they come, and it's like Joe had said, it's preparation. It's like a year of preparation. They have to come up with the money to help sustain them when they're in recovery. Children don't go to school. Grandparents come. Everybody comes. And, you know, the patients are so thankful and very gracious. It's a humbling experience, one that we don't have to walk for 5 days to come and have surgery. So it's life-altering for them and for us.
Tell me a little bit about the emotional roller coaster that the team takes, because obviously you get in there, the bus comes in, there's so much joy on everybody's faces, euphoria, you guys probably feel it. Then you get down individually with the individuals, hear their stories, see what's happening. What kind of toll, if any, does that take?
Well, it just it makes your heart grow, you know, exponentially. It's even emotional now, years later, thinking about the service, you know, that you do, you're giving of yourself, and they are so appreciative that it's hard to explain.
Right. Well, thank you for that. Thank you. Kay King, there's a lot that's going into this in order to make this happen, isn't there? Tell me about some of the folks who are helping to facilitate this.
Well, it's been really fun to get to know the team that has actually, when I first met them, I met the team that had gone last year, and you just wanted to be part of it. When you listened to them and saw the passion in their eyes and heard the stories, the part that they didn't tell you is that when they finish surgery, they walk home. So, I mean, they may have just had the surgery and they start walking home. So that's how bare and how there's nothing except when you come and you help them, and people line up outside the gates. And when I just heard all that, I said, we've got to get this to happen. It's got to happen. We have a member that went last year that wants to go in the worst way again this year. And so this year is really important to try to make that happen again. They say they're going if they have to empty their piggy banks, but we're hoping that we don't have to do that. So first thing we had to do was to establish a 501c3 relationship so that people's donations, if people decide they want to help, would be tax deductible, and that there would be a path for those to go through. So we ended up finding, it took us a while, but we ended up finding what they call a financial sponsor, which is someone with a 501c3 nonprofit status already. And then we asked if we might be able to be under their umbrella. And Crossroad Assembly came forward. Dale Edwards helped us and said definitely.
That's not a surprise.
No. And he ended up Say, of course you can. So we have a relationship. We have a bank account set up. The money goes to Crossroad, and then they deposit it into the account. And I just happen to have that P.O. Box number with me. It's P.O. Box 3347, and that's Crossroad Assembly. And the people that might want to help us just would fill in Guatemala down in the memo line, Guatemala trip, anything like that, and we'll make sure it gets to the right account. We started out thinking that maybe we could do the trip for about $11,000, but, you know, travel expenses have just, like, doubled, and every cost associated. They have to go to Portland the night before because their plane leaves at the crack of dawn. They have to have a place to stay. And I just feel that since they're so willing to donate their time to this and their passion, that the least our community could do would be to send them off with the money they need for the trip. So we're looking at $20,000, which I think is very doable in Florence.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, we've got some very generous people.
Very generous people. And every amount would help. You know, the fewer donations we have to worry about would be better so that they can know that it's taken care of. But I'm excited. I don't think they'd want me in the surgical room, but I would love to go and help in some way.
Right.
I could hand out tortillas or something on the corner. I would do anything.
You don't like faint at the sight of blood or anything.
No. And they don't need my advice either.
Not on that.
No.
So, Joe, this obviously, this takes time out of your regular work and stuff like that. And, mm-hmm. and it's a dedication thing for the people that are going mm-hmm. down there. Do you guys get together beforehand and discuss, or do group meetings and then maybe get together afterwards and discuss?
So this being my second go-around, you know, everyone comes from every which corner of the country. We even had a provider come from Canada last year. You don't meet these people until you're in the airport ready to get on the plane. So you have no idea what they do, what they're capable of. You know, what the personalities, anything really. But we communicate a lot through email. A lot of it comes from Dr. Raymer saying, hey guys, you know, we're this far out, make sure you've, you know, got this done, you paid your trip fee, you've got your tickets booked. Once you have all that, give it to me. And then Faith and Practice actually has like a team database, if you will, where they keep all of that information for that specific team. So they know what time to have the buses there at the airport in Guatemala to pick us up. You know, I'm not exactly 100% sure all of the work that Dr. Raymer does on the back end of things. She's the one that does, you know, room assignments at the hotel or the place where you're staying, getting a head count for, you know, the number of meals or who's going to all come and get transport back to the airport in Guatemala. So she does a lot of the back work. We show up at the airport. We say, hi, I'm Joe. I'm an OR nurse. You get on the plane and you just do. Mm-hmm. And everyone works together, even though you've never met him before.
Well, that was my next question was, you know, how does that work? Because it seems like when a surgical team is put together, they work together for a while. They usually, you know, have they're in sync the way they move in the operating room and that. Does that take very long to make happen, or is it a totally different environment?
It's a totally different environment. You know, we had like our recovery room nurses down there. One of them was an ICU nurse. She had no idea what it meant to be a nurse in the recovery room, but she knows how to monitor a patient and, you know, when things are going south, she knows what to do. But she didn't know the normal like routine and how you pre-op a patient and what happens and what you have to do when that patient gets back to you immediately after surgery. But she picked it up and, you know, we got through our day. We took care of our patients. She ended up doing a great job. A lot of the workflow and, you know, like friendly banter between everybody, it just kind of develops. And it's almost as though you've known them your whole life. And then it's super sad to see them go when you depart ways at the airport.
Is it important to have that banter and stuff to keep the stress level down?
Absolutely. I mean, surgery can be stressful. But if you know what your team members are capable of, and if you can work in a cohesive group, you know that patient is going to be taken care of no problems at all.
So is it true that oops is a word you're never going to hear?
100%.
Yeah, it's,
oh,
you know,
mm-mm.
It's usually frowned upon. It's not to say that it doesn't ever happen, but
I can imagine. Kate, did you have something you wanted to add?
I just think it's fascinating when you were talking about during the procedures, the materials that you use and reuse. And I think that's really an interesting
so
part
we,
of the story.
You know, here in the U.S., we our healthcare is
one and done, right?
It's one and done.
We're done with that.
We're held to a very high standard of how we do things, right? But in Guatemala, at that hospital, you reuse everything. Everything can be reprocessed,
re-sterilized.
Right? Oh,
no.
Yes.
It's
wow.
It really took me by surprise. We were doing a hernia. We needed a piece of mesh. We've brought down a box or two of mesh, right? Well, we snipped a little corner of that piece of mesh, and someone from the hospital there came in, took it, and I'm like, what are you doing with that? And they're like, oh, we're gonna reprocess it and re-sterilize it and use it on another patient. So when we looked into like where the instruments and everything are washed, sure enough, all of the breathing tubes, the suction devices we use to suction out your mouth during surgery, different like stapling devices, everything, towels, gauze, sponges, everything is reused.
Cleaned
and re-sterilized. Yep.
I'm not so sure that's not a bad thing. I mean, you know, you do what you have to do.
And it works for them, and the patients get taken care of, and, you know, it's you've done great things.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. So, Tina, I've already made you cry,
and I
apologize for that.
Oh.
How about a happy memory you can share from your trip?
It was really nice. One of the surgeons that we went with received a letter from one of the patients, and it's those little things, you know, that just make you smile. The friendships that you make are great, but it's the smiles on those patients' faces that just, they touch your heart, and they give you that energy just to keep going, that passion that you know, I came into this, you know, healthcare field for a reason, and it helps, you know, just move you on, you know,
Is it so much different than in America? Because it seems to me like, and I know I'm going to get calls on this, but it seems to me like patients around here are spoiled sometimes, and sometimes even rude, not understanding, you know, that they are one of many patients that are out there.
Right. And I think we talked about that, too, as a group. And, you know, we tried steering away from the spoiled because, you know, here we have more access to healthcare. We don't have to walk for days for a scheduled surgery. But the attitude is it's just a different mindset there because they're grateful for a little sheet to cover them. They're more than happy to let go of something for somebody else, you know, and I think it's just, we have a higher standard here. And so that helps. I mean, I've thoroughly enjoyed working here in Florence, and I think the people here are great, and our patients have been great. But, you know, when you're not feeling good, sometimes you're not feeling good, you know. But, you know, just seeing the other side of that coin is it's helpful. And, you know, you never know what anybody else is going through. Surgery affects more than just you. It affects your families and your work and everything. And so, you know, it helps put everything in perspective. So you can yell at me all you want. Go for it. Bring it on.
Well, then I think, too, when they come back, it doesn't just benefit the people of Guatemala. I think when they walk back into that operating room, they have a renewed passion,
right,
a new gratefulness. I bet they look down at their tools and think, this is amazing. And I'm sure that it passes right down through the patient care and everything. That's what I feel good
about. I can say, you know, here in the U.S., we tend to get stuck on, like, all of the policies, and you have to do this way, and, you know, you tend to lose
what's
focus.
What's your last name? What's your name? Can you tell me your date of birth one more time?
His name is George.
Exactly. You know, we get caught up in the policies and the bureaucracy that is our healthcare system, right? And, you know, it's just another patient on the table. It's just another, you know, chart that you're opening. But after you serve in this way, you realize that, oh, this might be Kay's relative on my table here in Florence. You know, it's somebody's wife, husband.
Well, it probably is one of Kay's relatives.
You know,
I knew you looked familiar.
Oh. Yeah, you know, it's a person there on the table, and you know, when you get called in at 3 o'clock in the morning, you know, that's somebody here in town. you know, Florence isn't that big. Everybody knows everybody. But that's one of your community members on the table. They're not just another chart. They're not another case.
And let me, while that's happening, you know, you understand that, but isn't there a part of you at the end of the day has to let go of that in order to be mentally healthy?
Yes. You know, healthcare is a stressful job. Yes. And
probably more so in those last couple of years.
Absolutely. Challenges, I mean, yeah. if anything, you know, if you're feeling burnt out in your healthcare role, let me just say that this kind of trip will wipe the slate clean and you come back
rejuvenated,
you know, just you have a totally different perspective and a sense of gratefulness for, you know, what we have here. Mm-hmm. Oh, if this instrument is contaminated, don't worry. I have 7 more on the shelf. Right. Or if I don't have, you know, this, that, or the other thing, chances are I have 7 different backups on the shelf. We don't have that in Guatemala. You know, it's a total sense of being renewed and like having a sense of being and doing in your career and actually taking care of that person on the table versus the policy and, you know, all that other stuff that is our healthcare system.
Well, just so you know, you have committed yourselves to a return trip here after your trip there.
That would be great.
Yeah. February 17th is the planned date for departure. Now, Kay, I'm sure that folks would like to have the money before that time.
Yes, it'd be great for them to plan. We would take a donation anytime, but it is really hard for them to plan and know how much personal expense they're going to have. I mean, because they don't earn a salary while they're gone.
Right.
They don't.
This is volunteer time.
And their time off is their own time, too. So it would be wonderful.
I'll talk to Jason about that.
Yeah. So one more time, the Guatemala trip account is through Crossroad Assembly, and the P.O. Box is 3347 in Florence. And I love this team. I would love to go in their back pocket.
Well, thank you all for being here today. Joe Brinkman, Tina Tratin, Kate King, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you so much, George.
Coming up next on Our Town, we'll learn about a thing called Pulse Point from the folks at Peace Harbor and Western Lane Fire and EMS Authority.